think Tom Skilling is looking at the same calendar that I'm looking at, but as far as I'm concerned, spring has started. So his mixture of snow, a storm rolling across the country, I'm not allowing it. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and Vince Moranto joins me in studio. I think he will concur with me that as much of a genius as Tom Skilling is, I need him to not say that snow is coming our way.
Well, you know my theory. I don't put my shovel away till the 4th of July, so I've lived in Chicago my whole life.
I put things away, and I have, as a woman, I'm not going to say that. I mean, there are men who also are clothes horses, and they, you know, have a lot of items, perhaps, but I have a collection that I'm like, okay, I can pare down to just one snow boot section in my snow boots, the heavy winter coat, the heavy gloves and hats, and a couple pairs of gloves because you're going to lose one of those, usually the right hand. I don't know why.
Right.
So, but I do know that there is a certain amount of jinxing. Is it jinxing or is it just you know to be ready?
No, it's no. I'm totally believing the jinxing of stuff because I mean, oh no, I was going to say something. I didn't want to jinx myself.
Did you say anything about the Blackhawks not getting into the playoffs? Because that's too late now.
No,
so you can say whatever you want.
Don't even get me started. We could spend the entire hour me talking about that.
I feel like
right
it's
now.
My fault because I only went to one game. And in the previous seasons, I've gone to more games than that. I've worn more Blackhawks gear. Mm-hmm. I will take responsibility for the entire Blackhawks team that we are not in the playoffs. I will say that it is my fault. I've been busy this season. I was not as invested as I should have been and could have been. Just so you know. So, Vince, let the players off the hook. It's me.
Okay, if you want to accept.
I'll direct your hostility towards Patty Vasquez, WGN Radio, 435 North Michigan Avenue, Chicago, Illinois.
First of all, I was thinking about this afternoon. Other than the Bulls, when's the last time we had a team that went to the playoffs 10 years in a row? So you got to kind of like
10
that.
10 years in a row.
Hawks have made the playoffs the last 10 years
in
a row.
It was 9 years, wasn't it? This would have been their 10th.
Yeah, 2008 was the first year they didn't make it. So it depends on how you're looking at it.
312-981-7200. Is there an answer to that question? When was the last time a Chicago team went 10 years in a row to the playoffs?
It would have been the Bulls during Jordan years because they went, you know, they made the playoffs. And in the NBA, at the time, too, there was like 30 teams and 28 made the playoffs?
Something like that, yeah.
They
spread that out a little bit. They were sharing the wealth, as it were. Yeah, I can't think of, I mean, obviously with the baseball teams, we know it's far and few between.
Yeah, right.
With the Bears, we know it's far and few between.
Yeah, we know.
So is there a team that's gone 10 seasons in the playoffs?
Yeah, it would have had, I was going to look that up. I guess in retrospect, knowing that I was going on the radio, I should have done that before I brought it up.
No, we're not quizzing you at all. 312-981-7200. Has there been a team in Chicago sports history that has gone 10 years in a row making it to the playoffs?
Well, you know, maybe then the older Blackhawks, when there was the original six teams, because then four make the playoffs. I mean, we made fun of basketball, but it was really
chances were a little bit better then?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I take responsibility for the Blackhawks not making it to the playoffs.
Well, I blame it.
Not the station. That's Patty Vasquez, like, individually, not for the whole station.
Well, I blame it on a lot of trades and stuff like that. But go ahead. Yours is the easier way out.
Go with me. I think it's easier to just unload on me. Say whatever you want. People during the political season say a lot of worse things than they do about the Blackhawks not making it to the playoffs.
That's true.
I'm just saying. Right. Plus, as a city, what a great run. And they will continue to be great. They will rebuild. They've got the management part in place. They've got the coaching in place. They've got great players.
They got some good young players. They got Brian DeBrincat. Anytime you got a guy that's scored three hat tricks and 25 goals and is completing his high school online, then you know you got a good young player. He literally is.
Does he have a prom date yet? Is he good? Is he good to go on that?
I don't know about that. But yeah, he played 3 years in the juniors. So, I mean, he was playing when he was. You know what I was thinking about, too, which is also really cool? Brian DeBrincat is really a real tiny guy. He's like 5'8", whatever, 100 and some pounds. And Tariq Cohen for the Bears, a real tiny little guy. Like our two best athletes two little tiny guys that everybody told them you're too small to play the game. Hey, that's why I never go for that. Any of that, he's too small, that's garbage.
By the way, for all of our 5'8ers, you're tiny. You're teeny tiny. Just My dad was only my dad was not a professional athlete, but he was only 5'4".
My dad is very short, too, because I remember looking at pictures. I would look at pictures of me, my mom, my dad, and my sister and go, yeah, I'm adopted. I can't be I gotta be adapted. There's something wrong going up wrong here.
A friend of mine posted a picture of her boys getting bigger, and she's like, "I can't believe how tall they are." And I said, "Wait until you can see them eye to eye."
Mm-hmm.
And it was startling with me. Griffin is 14 years old. I think he was 12 when he became 5'6".
Okay,
I'm 5'6". And I was like, it was startled, but it was also, oh my God, thank you. Because my dad was 5'4",
right.
And there was always this like pang of fear. And look, it would be fine if he were short too, but I came from short people. My mom is 5'2"-ish. Mm-hmm. My sister is 5'0", which means she's short of 5 feet tall.
Oh, okay.
And so she's 4'11" and change. So I was concerned.
It's Carla Felicia size.
She was. Oh, Carla. How is Carla Felicia doing?
You know, I haven't talked to her in a real long time. It's cool. They have you mentioned that Zany's 40th anniversary.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, you're in it. There's a little movie that they started.
Did I say nice things?
Yeah, you say Zany's is your favorite club.
Yeah.
Which is a great thing to say if you want to make a movie. Want to make it to the movie.
and if only I could work there again, that would be cool.
But they show a clip of Carla, and I had not seen her do stand-up in, you know, decades.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to see her on the clip and see you too.
And Carla Felicia, for those who aren't familiar, is a legend in Chicago comedy, and was one of the few comics that had basically a contract with Zany's Comedy Club, mm-hmm. to work. I think Bert told me it was like 30 weeks out of the year. And she became a writer, producer. She was one of the writers on Mike and Molly.
Yeah, she started off with... Still Standing. Right, Still Standing.
Yeah, then with Jamie Gertz.
Yeah, with Jamie Gertz. And then she went to Mike and Molly.
Yeah.
And with Ryder, and then, you know, producer, how that goes.
And created a character named whom? Named what?
No, that was Mark Roberts who...
Is it Mark Roberts that did that?
That was Mark Roberts who flat out, last time I saw him, said, "Hey, thanks for letting me steal your name."
Vince Maranto, yeah. on Mike and Molly.
Right.
I love that. So Zany's is celebrating their 40th anniversary. Yes, my favorite comedy club in the country. It's right there over by Wells. It's on Wells near North Avenue. Yep. And they're having all kinds of great events. And one of them is Vince Maranto emceeing this entire month of March. Go to zanies.com for all your ticket information and see him every night. Just go every night. There's always going to be something different. So why don't you go see him like this weekend and next week, and then when he's at the other clubs. More with Vince when we come back on zanies.com. On zanies.com on WGN Radio, 720 WGN. Hey, Vince, I don't know if you know this, but there's a radio station across town that's no longer in existence. Were you ever a guest on 97.9?
You know what I did? I listened to the final broadcast there with Steve talking to all the people, which was really cool. And I saw, by the way, I still haven't got it yet. I ordered a Loop shirt that you could still buy them on the last day.
Are you going to cut it like one of the hot girls?
Are you kidding me?
Like a V-neck, a little tie down the side.
This is the honest...
As you and I would totally fit into one of those hot chick, what do they call them, Loop girls? You and I, Loop girls, just laying across the programming board, right?
Sure.
Yes.
Because I got my very first Loop shirt on my 21st birthday, which would have been just short of 40 years ago. And I immediately, that's how long that station's been around, and I immediately cut the sleeves off when I got there.
Really?
You
flash danced it? did you cut off the collar too, or no?
No.
Okay, I'm just saying. I wasn't sure.
That was the thing.
Yeah, you had to like show off your arms.
Yeah.
But couldn't you like roll it up and put a pack of cigarettes in the? No, that was like.
Okay, if I was James Dean, maybe.
I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out the fashion.
How old do you think I am?
That was the first radio station I was ever a guest on with Tom Thayer and Keith Van Horn.
I remember that. Yeah,
they used to host the show at midnight.
Right.
I was their I was actually their fill-in guest host for a while back in the '90s.
Wow.
And it was Graham Elwood. We were talking about Carla Felicia.
Okay.
Graham Elwood and Jimmy Pardo,
sure.
And the comics used to hang out at the clubs. They were like, "Hey, come hang out with us," and I think they were. I'm not sure what their angle was, but they were like, their first mistake was bringing me in to hang out with a couple of Chicago Bears. If you guys thought you were cool by bringing me into a radio station, I'm gonna hang out with the Chicago Bears,
right.
just so you know, and maybe date one of them. I don't know, maybe that could happen.
You want to hear something funny too? I was driving home when they made the transition from the Loop to the new
the Christian rock
thing,
right?
So I took a video because the last song they played was Highway to Hell, of course. And they went from Highway to Hell to, like, you know, you are my savior, whatever. So I put it on Facebook, the last 10 seconds. I put the end of an era. Facebook took it down because they said I don't own the rights.
To either song?
Yeah.
Either, both, I guess that's true. But,
is it? I know, but can't
but
you
But somebody had to call you on that in order for them to catch it.
Is
I would
it?
Think.
I don't
would,
know.
I
Do they have...
Are they that good at, like, what's out there?
Well, here's what happened one time. Me and Anton went to see Paul McCartney over the summer. I was putting up some live videos, and some of them they took down saying I don't own the music, and others they let go. So I always thought that's kind of weird there,
here's
how they
the
pick and choose.
Here's the thing, Vince. You have to be a Nazi running in the Republican ticket in a district of Illinois in order to be able to be legit. And if you're going to do the other stuff, well, we're going to pull that stuff down, just so you know.
Yeah, I know. I almost started a whole rant on, oh, it's amazing that they'll allow this on there, but... But I can't put the last 5 seconds of Highway to Hell.
Well, you know, when you, like, there are times, I rarely ever report anything on Facebook, right? Mm-hmm. I think maybe twice in the entire time I've been a Facebook member have I ever reported anybody. Mm-hmm. But there was one that came up, and it was an obese person with, it was sort of highlighting their genitalia. And it was somebody who was overweight, and they were making fun of them. And I thought I was reporting them, but apparently I was reporting it to the group. And then so the group manager blasted me on Facebook.
Okay.
Patty Vasquez is censoring and all this stuff. And right. I was like, no, you are taking somebody you don't know to humiliate and shame them. You're using a photo of somebody that I don't know where this originates from. Mm-hmm. And it's being used in a way that I don't think they intended it for.
Right.
But yeah, there's so many other things that Facebook will. Well, that's a whole other basket of crazy.
Yeah.
Have you checked your settings to see how many apps are open on Facebook?
No.
We'll show him during the break. Okay. Michael, how many did you have? How many were open last night?
I had about 16, and they were all really embarrassing because it's like old dating apps from 2012.
I was standing behind him. There was one, Michael. There was one dating app that I saw, and that was it.
I'm so sad you needed to see that one.
It was Tinder. I have Tinder. What are you talking about? My husband knows. I just want to see how I would do after being married for 17, 18 years.
That's a good point.
I'm just saying, Michael, I had to close J-Swipe. Do you know what J-Swipe is?
I have heard of J-Swipe.
No.
It's a Jewish dating app. Mark Carmen was telling me about it, so I put my profile. My husband knows all these things, but it was still open on my Facebook page. Ez, how many apps did you have open? And you
closed
them all?
I think I had about 20-something,
see?
I would say.
So we will go through your open...
What was your... were you like Shiksa 22 or something like that? What was your...
I think it was just Patty Vasquez. And people were like, wait a minute, I think she's married.
Well,
I'm
sorry.
Yes,
excuse me. I stumbled across on my battery usage. I had to go to that low power mode because I didn't have my charger. And I stumbled across my battery usage, and it breaks down what you use your battery for. For phone, it was 1% on my phone. So actual phone calls is 1%.
Yeah.
The games and Facebook and everything else was I couldn't believe it. My phone. I use my phone 1% of the time as my phone. And that's ridiculous.
Everything else is it's just garbage.
Right.
Well, can I tell you, something occurred to me today because I was watching Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
And Polly gets angry because someone's outside honking their horn. I've told them it's a respectable neighborhood. Don't, and she's yelling about it. And I realized today as something very important, and maybe you live in different neighborhoods than me, but I just realized today, I think honking for someone to let them know you're there has slowed down considerably because you can text somebody and
right.
say, hey, I'm outside.
Yeah.
312-981-7200. Maybe you haven't noticed it because I used to wake up with people honking to pick somebody up. Are people still honking as a doorbell? Or do you think maybe that slowed down? That's one of my favorite. I just realized today, maybe one of my favorite things about cell phones is people don't honk for a doorbell anymore.
One of my old girlfriends.
Get out of the car and ring the doorbell.
One of my old girlfriends, when her mom was divorced and dating, there's a guy that used to come and get her, and his car horn was that. And she said she would yell from the balcony, come upstairs like a gentleman. And he would.
There you go. There it is. I think that maybe that's one way cell phones have made us more conscious.
Yeah, I don't think I've honked for. I can't even remember last time I honked to let somebody know I was there. It's always here.
I'm here.
Your text. Yeah, here.
Yeah, I'm here. More after this on 720 WGN. When I was 6 years old, my great aunt Bernice was babysitting me, and she let me stay up and watch a show called Saturday Night Live. And I saw a little girl who turned out to be an adult woman named Gilda Radner jumping up and down in her bed, playing crazy, being silly, and making me laugh. And
The Judy Miller Show.
It was Gilda Radner. Yes, it was the Judy Miller Show.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it's called.
And I knew what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I became obsessed with stand-up comedy, with sketch comedy, with comedians, in particular women in comedy. And so... if you got into my car in high school and turned on my radio, you would be listening to a cassette tape of George Carlin's Man on Campus, Carlin on Campus. And so people ask me a lot of times, like, what music do you like? Or, you know, who's playing the song? Or, hey, what's that one song? I will never know. I will never know. But I can tell you the first time I ever saw Ellen DeGeneres on Johnny Carson and Roseanne and Gary Shandling, I mean, I saw all their first appearances because I was obsessed. So I love music. I just don't know music. By the way, we are celebrating 40 years, speaking of comedy, 40 years of Zany's Comedy Club. Vince Moranto is hosting all month. You can go to Zany's Comedy Club. Go see the great shows. Go see the great Vince Moranto and celebrate with us. But Vince, I get the feeling you know music a little bit better than I do.
Well, I went to high school in the early and mid 70s, so I know 50s, 60s, 70s, and it starts to drop off.
It drops
off. Right about there.
So I found out about this documentary called Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs. And one of the contributors is John Seven, who's in studio with us. And you were telling me about some of the great artists, in particular, the role that St. Louis played in rock history when it comes to radio and performances. Hey, John, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. Yeah. So first of all, that cut we just played was something that maybe a lot of people aren't familiar with.
No, probably not here. It's Blue Mist by Mama's Pride, which was a St. Louis group that made it on the Atlantic label, and they were kind of touted as a Southern rock band. They actually backed up Greg Allman as when he was trying to go solo, and they were solidifying themselves. Atlantic didn't really promote them like they should have,
okay.
and as a lot happens with a lot of bands, and they had two albums, and Atlanta's like, well, we're not going to do anything. But Ronnie Van Zant said, you know what, I'm going to produce their third album, and then the plane crash happened, and that was it. And there's so many artists that had histories like that where just shy of making it, you know, for whatever reason. But that was a local St. Louis artist, and members of that are in this documentary we're talking about. And first, congratulations on that 40 years.
It's Zany's, yeah. Zany's. We are very proud of that.
And the reason this documentary came about, Ron Stevens is a St. Louis, he was the program manager at KSHE in the 70s.
So KSHE is the station in St.
They
Louis.
They had 50 years of continuous rock music in November of last year. They're the longest station that has played rock continuously in the United States. And part of that...
Maybe that's why the loop quit. They're like, we can't keep up with KSHE.
And part of that, you know, is explaining the way he put this documentary together. My contribution was more of a historical aspect, you know, getting newspaper clippings, finding old ticket stubs, whatever, you know. But, you know, Ron had, you know, he got all the old DJs together. He got musicians like the members of Mama's Pride, like other artists who St. Louis helped put on the map in a place other than their hometown. So we were talking about Alyota Haynes Jeremiah.
Mm-hmm.
You all know him here.
You say,
Everyone knows him here.
Okay.
But St. Louis, you know, St. Louis knows not just Lakeshore Drive. They know Snow Queen. They know all the other tracks. They know stuff by Michael Stanley. They know stuff by Gypsy, J.D. Blackfoot. These artists who, they were big in their hometown and like, basically in one other place on the universe, maybe L.A. as well, if they played at the Whiskey a Go-Go like Gypsy did. And that's what KSHE did that was revolutionary, and that's what this Inspired Amateurs is it's not what you had in the mid-60s where you had your guys in the 30s telling the kids, hey, here comes the Monkees, you're going to like the Monkees, you better listen to the Monkees, buy the Monkees. You had these... And it was probably a budgetary thing where Shelley Grafman, who was the brother of the guy who bought the station, he was an insurance salesman of all things, said, you know what, I'm just going to hire a bunch of kids out of high school. You know, not these 30-year-olds who have the deep, have the voices and the characters, you know, and all that. These high schoolers who were tuned into the beginning of the counterculture, which of course hit St. Louis like 4 years after it hit everywhere else, but they're playing entire, you know, like the side B of a Cream album when everyone else is playing one Monkey song followed by a Neil Diamond song followed by an Engelbert Humperdinck song.
See, I know all three
and
of those
rotating
names.
It like every 45 every, minutes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they would play all this stuff and they go deeper and deeper and they would find, these kids would find stuff at garage sales. And Shelley would say, you like it, put it on the air. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it blossomed from there. It formed a community that was not seen beforehand where they would have people, you know, you have downstairs the window where people can wave or, you know, press themselves against or whatever they do. They had that in this little shack in Crestwood, Missouri, just outside the city, where they would hand tickets out the window, hand not quite cigarettes into the window.
Right.
You know, Chuck Berry would just show up and knock on the window. Stuff like that, where a community was being formed. And this was all because a bunch of teenagers were entrusted in 1967, 68, 69, and into the 70s with play what you guys like.
Yeah, it was musically motivated, not monetarily. Here's what we're forcing down their throat.
Right, and it just blossomed from there. So these kids would find, and there's so many artists you'll see in this documentary, and so many that aren't, who just didn't have time. It, basically, what Ron did was whenever an artist would come through St. Louis while he was making this, he tried to schedule time with him. So Roger Hodgson is of Supertramp is part of it. Jesse Colin Young, John Batdorf of Batdorf and Ronnie. But other artists, Sammy Hagar would not be Sammy Hagar without saying, and he said that millions of times. In fact, in the 80s, the documentary only goes up to 79. In the 80s, another DJ friend of mine, Randy Raley, was the first person on the face of the earth to know that Sammy Hagar was joining Van Halen. He reported on the air, and everyone's like, oh, you're full of it. You know, next day it was official. Sammy and Kiss and, Head East and Rodeo Speedwagon, who are, I guess you call it Upper Illinois.
Sure. Illinois.
Central Illinois, it's not quite St. Louis.
Right.
A lot of them were getting their starts in St. Louis, and eventually, you know, that spread. And then, as I said, you know, Elliot Haynes Jeremiah, J.D. Blackfoot, Michael Stanley, right. Gypsy, huge in their local areas, and in St. Louis, because the DJs were you and me.
Right.
They talked to you about the music. They started a conversation. They brought in people to the studio to talk, like Slade. And like, and like Fleetwood Mac, when no one knew who Fleetwood Mac was before Bob Welch even left, you know, and all these people, Santana and pre Steve Perry Journey, you know.
Let's take a quick break. We're going to continue our conversation with John Seven, who's one of the contributors for the documentary Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs in Studio. We also have Vince Moranto, who is performing at the Zanies on Wells. Go to zanies.com for more ticket information. And I called Paul Farvar because he always makes fun of me for not knowing music. And Tank Boy Can Bite Me. More after this on 720 WGN. You must check out the documentary Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs. In studio joining us is one of the contributors to that documentary, John Seven, from St. Louis. And I think we should give away a prize to anybody who knows what band that's from.
Yeah, that would be good.
312-981-7200. Who is that? I guess, who is that? Who's playing that music?
No hints? Okay.
Oh, you want to give a hint?
I'll give one hint.
Okay, one hint.
I mean, it's not one that's going to help them.
It would never help me. I'll tell you that right now.
They were very good friends with Chicago and actually succeeded Chicago as the Whiskey A Go-Go house band.
312-981-7200. Do you want to play a little bit of that, Michael, so people can maybe have a chance at trying it again now that they know a gift card from Lou Malnati's is on the line? 312-981-7200. I feel like someone's already starting to some people are calling and some people are already text us. Somebody, by the way, a listener named Patrick says, Patty, just tuned in on the radio, and this guy, I didn't hear his name, John Seven, S-E-B-B-E-N, and you can find the documentary, Never Say Goodbye. He said it's absolutely the S word that I can't say on the air. He said it's actually great, just saying. So that's from Patrick, who's already seen your documentary.
And I, you know, hearing the band that I can't mention yet, it reminded me of another Chicago group that St. Louis really loved was Hartsfield.
Oh, yeah, Hartsfield.
Hartsfield, big, big in St. Louis. So, I mean, you know, we had our own bands, like that first band that played at the beginning, which was Mama's Pride, and Pavlov's Dog was another one, and, of course, Head East and REO Speedwagon in middle Illinois. But, yeah,
ooh,
Hartsfield
I recognize
was
REO Speedwagon. I got one.
Champagne's finest.
Yeah, but Hartsfield, there's a lot of big Hartsfield fans in St. Louis. In case you would play a lot of, you know, not just them, but bands like them, like Mason Prophet and other bands.
Was that when was Mississippi Nights already open back then?
Mississippi Nights was opened in I think it was 77, so it was like 10 years later. But you know what? One thing about what the document doesn't get too much into is focus on Keishi. But what Keishi did was it kind of helped foster places like that that would play a Poco or a Hartfield one night and then be Jean-Luc Ponty the next night. You know, they just played everything and they had knowledgeable people coming to watch.
Let's play this a little bit more of this song so people can guess. 312-981-7200. Who's playing this? What band? Who is that? Who's that?
I looked it up. I didn't know it. People are Shazamming it.
And
312-981-7200. Let me take Patrick real quick. Patrick wants to chime in real quick. Hey, Patrick, what are you thinking?
You know, I thought it was Ooray at first. Is it Ooray? Or, I mean, but it does sound like Hartsfield. It was just right around that same gosh darn time in the late 70s, and I'd seen both of them at Poor Richard's up on the north side.
Not Ooray. It's not Ooray. No. Patrick, thank you for trying. We're going to take another call in just a moment. Have a great night. By the way, before we go to the break and to news, Trucker Rich wants to know, is this available on DVD?
Yes, it is, and we can share a link later on.
Share right now.
All right. Go to stlouisclassicrock.com, S-T, as opposed to Saint, but stlouisclassicrock.com. At the top of the page, bit clunking on the phone, but still at the top page, you'll see buy the Keishi DVD or Blu-ray.
Excellent.
And you can go there to get it.
Perfect. More after this on 720 WGN. Who's that? The documentary Never Say Goodbye inspired amateurs, which catalogs really a lot of Keishi history. Why is it Keishi sounds like it's a girls' station?
Well,
was that ever a confusion?
No, not really. It was formed actually in 1961 in a basement in Crestwood, Missouri. A guy who was with Ed Series was his name. He was an engineer for KSD, which was NBC's radio station, AM station, and he wanted to build his own FM station when FM was not there yet. And he built his own transmitter and all of this in a basement house. And it was called Keishi because he did it for his wife and it was her favorite music. But this was all like Wagner and Mozart and all this. And eventually it did well enough that eventually it got bought by Century Communications out of LA. And by 67, one brother, the Grafman brothers owned it, and one brother kind of gave it to the other, who was more of an insurance salesman, and said, well, let's try this rock thing. I don't want to listen to Perry Como anymore, I guess. And he left it up to the 18 and 19-year-olds and left it in their hands, who were involved with the counterculture, who knew who people like Janis Joplin were and Cream. And eventually these 18 and 19-year-olds had responsibilities or were given the responsibilities or took on, whatever you want to say, that they brought these concerts in to St. Louis where, I was telling you before, Patty, about there was this concert at Kiel Auditorium where a bunch of local groups, and it was followed by the Ford Theater, the Hourglass, which became the Allman Brothers, Spirit, and then Janis Joplin as part of Big Brother Holding Company. And the great story, and it's mentioned a bit in the documentary, is because all these bands went longer and longer, the union came up to Ron, the guy behind the documentary, at about 11 o'clock. He's like 19, 20 years old. At times, like, you know, a big union guy comes up behind him. He's like, 15 minutes, we're double time. This show better end.
Not for nothing, but you're going to pay extra.
And so Janis said to the crowd, where do you want me to play for free tomorrow?
And
they did, and they have video, you know, Super 8 video of she playing at the Forest Park Pavilion, just having a free concert the next day with all these kids. And that was this community being built by this radio station that was built by the kids themselves. It wasn't the community built in the early 60s by KXOK, which was a big station at that time, where it was, again, the 30-year-old saying, you're going to like the Monkees, you're going to like Herman Hermits and all of this. This was these kids and their mouthpieces being the DJs on the air talking to them, not at them.
Well, it's just like Facebook Live now. Taylor Swift does that stuff all the time. Right. So give her credit.
Right, and that's why, and,
Taylor Swift.
And that's why the station went deeper into the artists like you've heard already, Mama's Pride and this to-be-named artist.
Let's see if any of our listeners know the to-be-named artist. Chris, do you know what music that is that we were playing and what band that was?
Was it Mamas and the Papas?
John?
No,
you
that
tell,
was not. No.
It was not Mamas and the Papas.
I'll give another hint. It's someone. It's not somebody that made it big. They should have. They really should have.
Let's see. Maybe Sue knows. Sue, do you know the answer?
It's Dead and Gone by Gypsy, right, John?
That's definitely it, Sue.
How did you know that, Sue? Sue, you call from, where's the, what area code is the 314?
Oh, I know
she was
that
in the band.
Well, it's John's backyard, actually.
Yeah, that's the St. Louis area code.
314. So are you a fan of a lot of the music on Keishi?
I am. You could say that, yes. And have seen a documentary, and John's did a good job.
Thank you.
Doing the rundown of everything that's contained in it and all the wonderful music we got to be exposed to. So, yes.
Oh,
definitely.
So cool. Well, Sue, even though you live in Missouri, we actually can send you a gift card to Lou Malnati's because Lou Malnati sends frozen pizza anywhere in the continental U.S.
And it is a good pizza. I remember that when I lived up here.
Yep.
Treat John to the pizza.
Treat John.
No, I'll just bring the gift card or whatever back when I fly back home, and I'll get it to you.
We'll get someone's information.
For me to call in and get it, though. I was hoping somebody else would. It really wasn't fair for me. I was listening in. So
Sue, somebody did text in from the 630, but our rules now are that you have to call in. You can't win by texting anymore.
Everything.
I said you have to call it. So someone else got it from the 630. They wrote "Dead and Gone" by Gypsy. So 630, Sue got.
They Shazammed it anyway.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Sue knew because she saw the documentary, Dead, Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs.
Yeah, and Gypsy was just one of those artists that they're from Minneapolis, and they should have made it big. They made some wrong choices in their label and the distribution there, but they should have made it just huge, and they didn't. And a few albums later, they disbanded, and other tragedies befell. The band is... will happen in the music industry, but great for anyone who wants to hear great music. Look up Gypsy. They online or wherever, they have just some great stuff. You'll love it.
Have a great night, Sue. Hold on the line because we're going to send the card to you because you're the one that called in and won the gift card. So you can share it. You can share it with John when the pizza arrives in St. Louis. Okay, hold on the line.
Good.
Here's Michael's going to get your information. And here's the thing. So John has his own radio show. Is it online?
Well, it's not really a show. It's because I'm not there talking all the time because I have a day job and all that fun stuff. But what I did was I took what Keishi did kind of, and Keishi was so prominent that people in the 80s and 90s and the internet age would say, what is a Keishi classic, beginning with a K? Because they had a show called Keishi Classics where an 82-year-old woman named Ruth Hutchinson would introduce a song with a little, here's a Keishi classic. I mean, it was just weird how right. It was. And it was all written for her. She had no idea who Michael Stanley was or REO or Nectar. But
Nectar.
Oh, yeah.
Every time you mention one of these bands, I could, like, Nectar was like, it was like a big peach or something was on the album cover. Every time you mention one of these.
The Allman Brothers copied them?
Peach. No, Allman was before Nectar.
Oh, Nectar and a peach.
Nectar was a German prog band.
Yeah, with a K.
With a K.
Yeah, right. But like Hartsfield, when you mentioned Hartsfield, the first thing I remember, like, their album, like, very red or orange. I remember a lot of, like, that color. And it's so weird how that's what's missing now with downloads. There's no such thing.
There's no cover art.
Album art. Yeah,
You have that. And when I first got into getting vinyl about 25 years ago, you get Revolver and Disraeli Gears, of course, anything that Strom Thurgeson did with Hypnosis for either Pink Floyd or 10cc, all those great album covers that were coming out by The Fool and all those graphic designers.
Yeah, it's like you mentioned, though, somebody at a garage sale goes, oh, this looks cool.
Yeah.
And they buy it. I mean, there's
the music could have been total crap, and sometimes it was.
There's not that angle anymore of attracting people in by the artwork that's on the cover.
They were the full packages. I mean, I don't know if they do this anymore, but I remember I'm a big McCartney fan that, Wings, Venus, and Mars, they had a Grammy for Best Album package.
Oh, I remember
because
that.
Because they had packages, a poster, they had stickers, they had all this stuff.
They still have that.
The gatefold.
Do they
still have that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't follow the awards anymore, but I saw that in some, Beatle book or whatever. It's like, I gotta get this vinyl. We'll see, you know. And I find one in a used store. It's like, well, this doesn't have all the stickers, you know. Whatever, but you know, and that's what you know. That's what Casey did. It brought the whole package to the kids and would talk. I mean, they talk about him on air. Ron Stevens, when he opened it up, like I think it was the second Gypsy album, he actually bought it and he opened it on the air, saying, "Feel that cellophane come off the album," and then he would put it on.
It's like the on-air unboxing.
Basically.
Can we, Michael, I'm sorry, tell us on the air what you wanted to inform us about?
Yes. It was very interesting. You mentioned the Best Packaging Award, and this year, Father John Misty's Pure Comedy won it, so it's still happening.
Okay. I did not know that. Yeah, but again, I don't follow the awards.
We also have a listener who's texting from the 224 who says, remember seeing Bachman Turner Overdrive at a drive-in when BTO was first starting out, sponsored by Casey.
Would that have been, if they're still texting, would that have been the airway, or would that have been the 66 Park in if they text that. And that was a Casey thing. They would take Casey's little, it was like a garage or a car wash. It was a cinder block rectangle that was probably 20 feet by 5. I mean, it was not a big thing. That was a studio. So when people like, you know, Slade or Journey would come in, to be like, where the heck are you taking me? You know, to this little hut. And a lot of people thought it was a concession stand to this drive-in on Route 66 right next door. And it might have actually been at one time.
Right.
But they had to deal with whoever owned all these drive-ins that, yeah, they would have Fog Hat played at one of them, and BTO played at one.
Paul, I've heard of Foghat.
Very good.
That's good. That's one.
Okay, you know,
I've had three or four tonight.
And all these little things, again, they were just community builders. I was telling you earlier when we met about the Kite Flies. They rented a baseball field at Forest Park, and in the documentary, they'll say, like, the third one, 80,000 people showed up, and, you know, Kiss was there, and Kiss had never played before 400 people at that point in
time. Well, all of a sudden, because of Casey.
They weren't that big yet.
Right.
Everyone there was really there to see, like, Charlie Daniels Band, but, you know, Kiss was there, and all these great stories are being told there. There's so many that weren't there that at least we talk about online. And on the station, at the online station.
Someone's messaging, best album packaging, Jethro Tull, Thick as a Brick. So there
and
you
I
go.
Will let's play all 43 minutes of that thing, you know, and Casey did too. They would play all that.
Let's find out more about the documentary before we.
Solo.
John's got a speech to give in the morning. He's an accountant, by the way. Just want you all to know, he's an accountant that I dragged in before he's at a conference this weekend. And I'm like, come talk about your documentary. More after this on 720 WGN. We are talking to music historian John Seven from St. Louis. He's one of the contributors for the documentary Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs. And I could not believe, I asked to play this because he mentioned this while we were chatting before the show. Vince Moranto, you know who was playing that song, Crazy Horses?
I know exactly who this is. And it was the Osmond Brothers. And it was because, and it got banned because they thought horse was a heroin reference. They thought Crazy Horses was a drug reference, right?
Right. It was about cars.
As that was Donny Osmond.
No, that wasn't Donny singing.
It was the Osmonds.
And I can't remember. It was either Tito or Marlon. I can't remember.
There was not a Tito Osmond.
No, it wasn't Donny. It wasn't Donny.
I think it was Merrill, wasn't
Merrill.
It?
Yeah. Merrill. Yeah.
Merrill.
Hey, I know my Osmond. I know my Mormon groups.
I remember seeing that on YouTube. You know, someone suggested to me, and I love the comments like, "Well, this is definitely you know Mormon heavy metal right here."
Now we have a listener on hold, Jamie. I know you were calling in for Trucker Talk, but when you're on the roads, are you listening to what kind of music are you listening to? I know you listen to talk, obviously, but is there a certain kind of music that you also crank, Jamie?
I'll tell you, I got it. Quite a few different ones that I listen to. I'll listen to Motown, 70s rock. Let's see, what else? Well, country. I've got a wide range. The only thing I don't listen to is rap.
I gotcha. So, all right. Hey.
You know.
Trucker Jamie, I got a question for you. So I was on the road today. I was in between Springfield and Chicago, and I think I was there, like, I want to say, like, maybe a little bit south of Pontiac, and I stopped at a trucker stop. It was a biggest one I've ever seen. They actually had a truck center behind it. It was kind of like, I don't know if it was a pilot, but they had, like, the showers and everything. But the woman at the gas station said, I don't know what's going on, but these truckers are having a hard day. Is there ever something like, just aside from weather, that makes a crappy day for truckers?
Well, you know, traffic.
Yeah. I mean, maybe at 55. I know on 55, there's a, that one. It goes on a one lane for a part of it, but I was trying to figure out what was happening on the highway that might have been making them a little more irate than usual.
Yeah, I don't know about that specific area. I was driving in Ohio today in Michigan, and I had clear roads, but I know, you know, going through that beltway, you know, from basically along I-70, between I-70 and I-74, and then coming through Ohio along that with US 30 and 70, we had snow the last couple of days. But I was above it.
Right.
So I was up by Cleveland, and then I went up to Lansing, Michigan, and Grand Rapids. And now I'm right in the middle of it, but the roads were all clear by the time I got through.
So, Jamie, you're not using, like, Waze, are you? What are you using to, like, get you to see your destination quicker?
I got a little GPS, Rand McNally.
Okay.
Some high-end
GPS
stuff.
That's about it. When you're used to going to so many places, you know a couple shortcuts here and there, and you get the feel for what you're gonna expect out there at different times of the day. Like you never drive through Chicago during the day if you can avoid it.
No kidding. Those poor Budweiser delivery trucks, man. Especially the ones in Lincoln Park, man.
They don't even pull over all the way. They don't even care.
Yeah, but
they don't have to.
Yeah, I wish I knew what was going on 55. But it, you know, if you're saying that it went down to one lane, that's gonna make it rough for everybody.
Oh, no kidding. Well, my other question is, when you do have to drive through a town, I'm guessing you really are hoping you don't have to make any turns, don't you? In a small town, or even in a big city. You're like, hopefully this is a straight shot.
Well, yeah, more times than not. There's some towns where you had to make a left and then a right.
Oh.
And the worst part is when the telephone poles are right on the corner.
Oh, man.
Because you don't get any wiggle room.
There's no give. Those things have no give.
Well, they give.
Eventually.
Way too much.
Not
give.
The right kind.
No, another part.
Not the good kind.
No.
Another part is when you got to take a left and a right, but the snow is covering the sign that tells you you're supposed to take a left and a right, and you keep going straight. Back in the old Rand McNally map days, that happened to me several times, where it would sort of jog around, and you keep going and all of a sudden you realize, this ain't the highway. There's something's gone horribly wrong.
It's someone's driveway. What's happening?
Fortunately, the Rand McNally that I have is geared towards trucks, and we can tell it what size truck we're driving. So,
so you can plug that in. That's great.
And then it knows where the roads that won't be able to handle, say it's got a low clearance, it'll beep and scream at me and everything. So it'll tell me, don't go that way. And so it does help quite a bit.
Well, Jamie, we've got to run. I appreciate you checking in for some Trucker Talk. Appreciate it.
Well, one real quick thing about Trucker Talk is this weekend down in Louisville, which is what I want to talk about real quick, they have what they call MATS. It starts tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, and that's a Mid-American Trucker Show. And so all the industry, the manufacturers and everybody associated with the industry is going to be there. And they'll have a few representatives or people running for the House of Representatives there to talk with us and about our problems. And one other on a related with that, Congressman Bevins down in Texas is bringing up the idea of changing our hours of service so at least we can function and actually get things done. So I've been in contact with their office, and I'm going to try to get in contact with more, and hopefully we can get our hours of service changed so that we can at least tolerate using these electronic logs now.
Well, how can people, if there are other truckers that want to get involved and maybe call attention to that or make sure that their voices are heard, where should they go? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, Congressman Bevins is one that's definitely sympathetic, so you can contact his office. Or they can contact their representative and tell them all the woes that they have with their hours of service. Unfortunately, my representative has just retired, so I have no representative right now. So
oh boy.
I got to call everybody else.
Well, Jamie, it was great to hear from you. I have to run for the break and then do the news.
Right.
But be safe out there, and I'm glad that you're driving above the snow. Yes.
Yeah, keep the Smokies off your tail, good buddy.
Actually, I had one on there today. I thought he was pulling me over. I got pulled over. I looked back, and he was gone. I don't know where he went. Apparently, he was pulling over someone that was tailgating me.
Well, that's a big 10-4.
Yeah.
Have a great night, Trucker Jamie. Thank you so much.
All right, you
be
guys
safe.
Take care. I hear Patrick and Rich out there, so keep it between the white lines, guys.
There you go.
There it is. I like to straddle him. More after this break on 720 WGN. How many days until baseball starts? And eight?
8 days.
Wow.
It seems like it was only 9.
8.
It seems like not too long ago.
I want to run towards it like a bull.
Don't you think like just yesterday it felt like it was 9 days until baseball started on WGN Radio for the season?
I think pitchers and catchers reported in 2017.
I think so. Paul, February. You excited about baseball?
I am.
I'm
very excited.
My
most favorite time of the year.
It is. Oh, just the sound of the bat hitting the ball. What?
I was almost, you know, this is the one thing I was going to change. After 15 years, I've only missed one opening day. And this year I was almost going to not go because it was so cold last year. And I remember.
You were very cold. I was mocking you. People
yeah, and
were leaving.
I came, yeah,
people
and I went came to, on the air after that.
People went to the opening day game, right, at Wrigley.
Snow.
Yeah, but it was their first game after doing what? After doing what?
Winning
after
the World
what?
Series. I had to go.
Yeah,
but our seats were so, we
it
were so far up.
It was so cold. I don't
it was
know how
so
to wear
cold.
Long johns.
I did it in 2006 when the White Sox did it after 2005. And the reason people go is because you're really celebrating the last year.
Yes.
To right.
celebrate this new season to go, yeah, it's like opening up a gift that you already know the answer to.
Yeah, and see, they came out with the everything. And
but Paul, you weren't carrying the warmth of victory with you is what I feel. I feel that you would let victory sort of dissipate. In
I was also sober,
month.
So there was a problem with the warmth. So that could have been the warmth that wasn't
So you were the one.
Yeah, I was the one guy. I was like, you guys, we need to take it easy.
You guys, pay attention. This is really serious.
Important. We missed the whole thing.
I was there for the ring ceremony, and it was cold, but I brought like layer upon layer upon layer because I saw your weak puss come into my studio whining about how cold it was. So cold.
It
That's
was
your
so
dad.
Cold.
That's your dad, and you're like,
puss.
Who's being
so
a puss?
Cold.
Puss.
So cold. I grew up in Oak Brook. Like we don't learn about like we can't.
No, it's
pain
like,
is not.
Okay,
we can't go to the mall today. Yeah. It's outside.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cold weather.
True. You know how they have the outside in the mall where you're like, no.
That's a good point. Why does Oak Brook have an outdoor mall?
It's a great
it's very
mall.
California. Yeah, but it's in the wrong state.
No, they swear up and down because they had enough cash because it was them in Barrington. They're like, we have enough money. We could just will sun. We'll will the sun. It's Monty Burns.
I'm leaving.
Yes. Woodfield, although Woodfield is not much better. Woodfield is like some menace to society. When you go in there, you're like, I don't know what level am I on?
Hair
is
extensions and falafel.
It's it's so hard to navigate in that
You can
place.
Get your eyebrows threaded and get a Cinnabon. All I'm saying is
Oak Brook has, it's easy to navigate that mall. It's there's
it's
big tiers of, you know, different stores and you know where
I
to
happen
go.
To love Oak Brook.
Yeah, there
because
you go.
When I worked out of college, I'll never forget, they had this place. And it was not the Leopard Lounge, but it was something called like, it was like a MILF place-y kind of thing.
Living room.
That is correct. So, how do I know this then? Because you know this.
I was there, yeah.
I met you across the bar,
we
and you were
right
like,
there.
Hey, how are you? How
I was
are
like,
you?
Hey, I'm in a band. Come
awkward.
Check
awkward.
But
it's all awkward.
Going into the Sox, Jerry Reinsdorf used to live in Oak Brook for a brief period of time, and he lived in our subdivision, so...
Did he really?
Wait, so what kind of doctors were your parents?
My dad only was a doctor. Uh-huh. He's an orthopedic surgeon.
Okay, so I'm trying to gauge the sort of you know, economic range.
Somebody came to my house recently because I had to go water the plants while my parents are in Florida. And on our street, our house is clearly like the eldest house, to say the least, compared to the other houses that are all rebuilt.
Aged. Your
Got
aged,
it.
Aged house.
They're all like bigger houses than ours.
They McMansioned the crap out of there.
McMansioned that whole street that I was on.
That's always weird. Like, I live in an area. There's a part of the Northwest Side called Oriel Park that you could... Yeah. Like,
named after
like,
the Baltimore Orioles?
No.
Oh.
I'm guessing the bird. I'm guessing the Orioles are named after the
like
bird.
Like Baltimore.
Agree to disagree.
But the... They'll have these cute little ranches and like maybe a couple of bungalows. And then you have these massive, like, people obviously bought the second lot next to them, tore down the house next to him, and then built this like cookie cutter house. And you're like, oh, it doesn't, it doesn't fit.
It's not weird. A home.
So Oakbrook, the old days, all these houses were built in the 60s, and they all had the same like rent, like this, like almost California feel to it. Maybe that's why they built them all, but it was just cool. And now all these new houses they're building are like these huge brick houses that all look like the same builder built all of them.
Yeah.
But it's still a great area.
People don't seem to take, I'll drive through a neighborhood and go, really? That was a choice you made? How about like that? What's that material? It's like stucco, exterior stucco, that like sort of.
Crap?
Yeah, it's weird. There had to be a trend. I don't know if it was the 70s where people were talked into this exterior coating that is stucco is like that. Like,
yeah, it's
like texturized
paint.
Yes.
Well, a lot of houses in the late 90s started doing this thing where it was half brick and they wouldn't finish. It looked
siding.
Yeah, it was like
So the bricklayers were like, yeah, that's what
cool.
It is. It looks great.
Yeah. But a lot of houses do that in the Oakbrook area and Hinsdale.
How about
the
marbled brick look? Like there's like the bricks are all like none of them are quite the same color. You're like, well, what you thinking there?
Well, yeah, our house is not one of those, and it's sad because we've been trying to get our parents to sell the house because nobody's there for or they're back and forth.
Are they Airbnb?
They're always
your house?
There. They're always there.
Yeah, right. There's security.
They're just not telling you.
But whoever buys that house when they sell it is just going to tear it down, and my parents, I think they're like in denial.
They would be hurt. But it would be hurt because you're like, hurt, dog. You're like,
with my comedy money? Yes.
Your Esquire money.
I will just take,
I will write this check. Do not cash this, but I will write it.
In 7 years, I may or may not have a show on television, but if I do, I will buy this house.
Did you notice that they still love, like, you have memories there, though? You have a ton of memories?
I do, but it was we moved there when I was in third grade and all through high school. But I drank a lot, and I don't remember a lot of my high school
years. So this is the south side of Chicago, just in Oakbrook?
Well, Oakbrook, Hinsdale Central had a high alcohol. That's
I know it. I used to date a girl from
there. Yeah,
Patrice Murphy. I'll never forget.
Patrice.
These guys are
their house was in Backdraft. The movie Backdraft.
Oh yeah, and you know that house.
Yes, yes, yes.
Paul's talking about drinking. You start in grade school or high school?
I started drinking. Well, my first drink, I think, was in seventh or eighth grade, but I started drinking heavy freshman year in high school.
I don't want to put you on the spot. Let me put it this way. A lot of my friends drank in high school.
Yeah.
I did not drink in high school. We've talked about
this. We saw the picture of you. So I don't think you were invited.
Chrissy McNichol on crack, which was hot. You looked like little foxes. It was so hilarious.
I did look at Chrissy McNichol.
Oh, you saw the picture.
Go to Facebook.
A little pudgier.
Go to Facebook and type in Patty Vasquez.
Did you know people who partied in high school?
I didn't, because I didn't know the cool people.
I was the same way.
And I was never invited.
And I dated a boy who wouldn't hang out with me. He broke up with me because I did not have cable television. So
what?
We didn't have cable and television.
Let's call
school.
Him Jason, because that was his name. More after this on 720 WGN. Earlier, we were talking to one of the contributors to the documentary Never Say Goodbye. It was, by the way, also inspired amateurs. And Larry was enjoying our conversation. Larry, what do you want to say?
Hello. I'm sorry I didn't tune in at the beginning of the show. I'm listening from Milwaukee, and I hear...
Go Milwaukee.
I heard part of Hang On to a Dream, and I don't hear that on the radio very often at all. And that's from a group called Gandalf out of New York, and they used to play at my dad's restaurant back in the late 60s.
Oh, come on.
Oh, that's so cool.
Our restaurant was called The Hearth, and I was the announcer. I was in high school, and I was called Lawrence of the Hearth. And the real name of that group was the Ragus, but they had to change it in order to get a contract in New York City.
To make it sound less Italian, the Ragus.
Well, I know. I get a little hungry when I hear the Ragus.
I like that.
I'm so starving.
They changed it to Gandalf, though? Yeah, a little bit of a 180 there.
Yeah, completely.
You shall not pass.
And the lead singer's name is Peter Sando. He still sings. He's put out a couple of CDs in the last 10 years. And the organ player was Frank Hubach, and he worked for Record Plant for a while out in California. And the drummer, the drummer passed away. I'm
so sorry.
Have you seen the documentary Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs?
I have not. I would love to.
Yeah, check it out. You can go to the website. Google, if you Google Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs, you'll find out more information. They have their own Facebook page, which we didn't mention earlier, and you can like their page, and they have a lot of stories about bands like Gandalf and Gypsy and a lot of bands that were just almost there but not quite. And you'll learn a lot about that.
Thanks for the Hearth. You gave us great history on the Hearth in Milwaukee. Is that correct?
Well, the hearth was in New York.
Oh.
It was in the suburbs of New York.
Fantastic.
There you go.
Yeah.
And Michael Heidemann has the answer on who the drummer was. Yes, Michael?
That's the one and only Davey Bauer.
Davey Bauer. He died of, I believe, a drug overdose.
Oh.
The perils of being an entertainer.
Yes.
There you go. Well, thank you, Larry. Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks,
a wonderful
Larry.
Memory and story.
Well, thank you for doing your show.
Appreciate it. Milwaukee, shout out to Milwaukee.
Yep, all the time.
Thank you. Have a great night. Actually, speaking of music, I have a quiz for you guys. I know we're talking about White Sox baseball, but I'd rather talk music. How often does that happen, Paul?
Are you a Cubs fan, really? I can't believe this. This is so awesome.
No, Patty doesn't usually talk about music, and there's a reason for that.
Well, because I'm not familiar with music.
Right.
Here's how unfamiliar I am with music. Michael has given me a test.
Okay.
And the test is, the quiz is it a Lollapalooza band or a contagious disease?
Ah, oh, I like this.
It's a good game. People are going to call in, or you're doing.
I think we should do for listeners.
Once when I was five.
Get a couple right. Callers.
So 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200.
Disease or band?
Is it a Lala band or a Lala? And then these are all bands that are performing at Lollapalooza.
Yes,
they're all
correct.
Scheduled.
Scheduled. The lineup came out today, and I thought that a lot of these names. I think of myself as a music guy, but
yeah.
I have no idea who some of these bands are. So it's
I knew a lot.
By
of them,
By the way, one of these doesn't sound like a disease. It sounds like a goal in life. Just so you know, I just want you to know.
Super Gorillatron
Miami
Vice.
Which one do you think I believe is a goal in life? I'm just saying. I just want to see Michael turn absolutely pink.
Oh, what is the
goal in life?
My goal in life. 312-981-7200. If you know all the bands that are playing at Lollapalooza, what do you think my goal in life is? I'm just that's the super question. If you can get that answer, check out all the names of all the bands playing at Lollapalooza, and if you can figure out what my goal in life is,
I like this.
You will win a gift card
to
Apt Electronics,
and you'll win your soul.
No. Poor Michael's like, I can't really look at Patty right now.
No, I think I found it, but
Jane's Addiction.
By the way, I'm not the only one. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one. 312-981-7200. I think this should be a life goal for everyone. Just morning,
this is like brackets
morning,
gone awry.
Morning donut.
That should also be everyone's
Thunder Crunch
burrito at midnight.
Very close.
Yeah, there you go. All
like,
mine are food
Michael's
related
like
right
along,
now.
Moving along. So sorry I made the list.
Ripped pants.
Band or disease?
Band or
That's
disease?
What we're
Let's
talking.
Do a practice round. Practice round, and then after. Do we have Doug Dingman tonight? Do we know?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so let's do, and he could play a round of this. 312-981-7200. We are going to play Lala Band or Contagious Disease. Okay, so here we go. So, John,
yes.
To you first.
Yes.
Is it a Lala Band or a disease? Mm. Let's go with Human Werewolf.
I'm going to say that's a disease.
That ding, ding, ding. You are correct. And also,
by the way, I felt it. It's very creepy and it's scratchy.
You also must start running, by the way. How much body hair is considered abnormal? It's generally subjective, but for people with severe hypertrichosis, hair growth is profuse in all sorts of unusual places, leaving no question that something unusual is going on.
God rest his soul. I have a Robin Williams 30.
All right, Paul, you're next.
Okay.
All right. Yours is Vera Blue.
Vera Blue is a disease.
It is a band.
Oh, no.
Yes. You will not.
Did you just slap me,
Michael?
Do we
have a safe word? You need a safe word.
Did you just slap me?
You have
also,
to say, how dare you?
That may or may not be related to my goals in life. I'm just.
We need a safe word. We need a safe word for this, people.
Safe word?
Yeah. Gotta have a safe word.
Okay, 312-981-7200 to play Lala Band or Contagious Disease, and we have a gift card.
What if it's both?
Are there any, Michael, did you double check our list to see if any of these are both?
You know, maybe some undeclared diseases.
Jane's addiction is a disease. If Jane has an addiction.
I know. Once when I was five.
You might want to Google some of these and make sure that they're not. Because I think that
qualify as both.
The judges might have to go out for this one. John, is it a Lala Band or a disease? Mm-hmm. Laughing Death.
That is a band.
That is a disease.
Oh.
You just want to get slapped by Michael. Stop it.
I just like it.
Do it again.
Can you please cross-check that one, Michael, and make sure that that is
also a band?
Laughing
Disease is a band?
Laughing Death.
You know, a lot of great bands do come from diseases. Dengue Fever is this great
band.
Well,
you know what? But It's not a Lala Band.
So Laughing Death, more commonly known as Kuru, was exclusive to the tribal four people of New Guinea. The disease, which was characterized by sudden bursts of maniacal laughter.
At diseases.
So I have a disease for my name? I have a disease for my name?
Hit the headlines in the 1950s and drew in doctors from around the world. U.S. and Australian physicians observed men and women with shaking limbs, which subsided with rest, but a month to 3 months later, sufferers would begin to sway and stumble, lose ability to stand, become cross-eyed, and lose the power of coherent speech.
We call that St. Patrick's Day.
What is it called? Laughing?
Laughing Death.
Laughing Death.
The National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke reported that tests on the deceased showed that it had been caused by the emergence of holes in the brain, also known as Swiss cheesing.
Yeah.
So this is...
just to be
call
fair.
It football, too.
By the way, let me continue because this gets even grimmer.
Oh, jeez. Gee, this is so good. This is the pick-me-up part of the show.
Laughing Death. Eventually, U.S. physician Carlton Gajudzik worked out that the infection was being passed on through the village custom of eating family members after death.
Cannibalism! Gotta throw in cannibalism!
Once cannibalism was eliminated, the epidemic came to an end. More after this on 720 WGN. Yes, Paul?
There is a band called Laughing Death, but they are not playing at Lala. They're playing at Riot Fest. No, I'm just kidding about the last one.
We have talked a lot of music tonight. We were talking to our friend John Seven, who was one of the contributors to the documentary Never Say Goodbye, Inspired Amateurs. We were playing Lala Band or Contagious Disease. And we do have to find a way. We talked about
the Sox a lot, too.
We actually ended up talking about music. It's so weird that we didn't talk about the White Sox. Our White Sox expert, John Bolger, is joining us tonight as well. But I think it makes sense that we're talking so much music when we have, of course, our iTunes psychic on the line, Dr. Lars Dingman. How are you doing, Dr. Dingman?
Good evening, Patty. I'm doing fantastic. I've been listening all the music talking. Isn't it amazing how music can stir such strong emotions in people, right?
Oh, no doubt about it.
You love some bands, you hate some other bands, and it's a thing that goes beyond logic. It's a gut feeling. Like, some people don't like gravy, right?
Sure. Who are those people?
People do. There's no rhyme or reason to it.
Well, now, do you like the sort of the thin gravy, or do you like more of a thicker gravy?
I enjoy a thick gravy. A thin gravy. You know what it says? You're in too much of a hurry to enjoy life.
It also says to me, this could be chicken broth. And it's sort of running all over my plate.
You're more into Thanksgiving, right, Dr. Dingman?
I'm thinking of a red gravy, actually. More of an Italian. Spanish gravy.
Pasta
sauce,
I believe.
Yes, Italians do call their spaghetti sauce gravy, and I'm not used to that. I never think of it as spaghetti sauce as gravy.
Yeah, that's what I was... I'm sorry.
I was misunderstanding you. I was thinking more of when you make that sort of valley in your mashed potatoes and you fill it with like that just delicious.
Yeah, but my point wasn't about the actual gravy. Oh. I was making a metaphor for music and how it feeds people, Patty.
I know, but I'm hungry.
You know, are we doing a cooking segment?
I'm hungry. Was what happened.
It felt weird. Yeah, I know. That was odd. In a good way.
Well, that and the fact that I thought that the band Super Organism was something else. Anyway, we're...
That's what you find in Superman's hamper.
Kryptonite.
So we are on the line with Dr. Dingman. He is the world-renowned iTunes psychic. He does readings for you right here on the air, and he's going to be at the Improv in Schaumburg on April 12th. It'll be your opportunity to have a reading done live and in person, and we're so excited to have you in the Chicagoland
area.
Go
see him.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, Pat. I'm also, it's going to be a CD release party. I've got my first CD coming out on Broken Records label, and it's the best collection of funniest phone calls from 2017. It's called Comedium.
Comedium. I am yeah. So sad because I wanted to be there for your release party, your CD release party. Really sounded weird. Your CD release party, but I've made an interesting choice. And maybe, you know what? I should probably think of the last three. I think it would be disingenuous for me to tell you the last three songs I randomly heard because they're the bump songs on my show. But so does that count as randomly heard songs?
Not really, because I'm assuming that the producer chose them and played them, and he knows you, and it's a business thing. It's not random. It's within the course of your workday. We could try it, but something tells me it wouldn't be good.
It wouldn't be good, he says. Yes.
Here's a question, Dr. Dingman. This is completely out of your area because you are already honed in and you know vibrations. So what if you were to take a song from Patty, a song from me, and a song from our other guest, and if you were to, could you do anything with that? And I'm way out of bounds asking you to do something like this. Is this possible?
You know what? I suppose it's, every psychic has their way of tuning into the vibrations that really form the actual real fabric of the universe. They just made an announcement this week that they're going to be able, Stephen Hawking's last paper, his last journal paper that he submitted, was an experiment that can actually be done right now in space to test to see if there were other universes that are living amongst us. The guy was so brilliant. He was able to figure out a way that we can, right now, the tools that we have, go out into space and do some sort of listening or bouncing or God knows what experiment. And if there are other multi-universes, Dr. Michio Kaiku speaks of them as well, it will give a positive result in this experiment. So I don't know how I got to that, but everyone has their own way in. People use tarot cards, they touch your watch, whatever. Mine is the vibration that music brings to people. And typically I ask for three songs because one song is about the person's past, one song is about the present, and the next song is about the future. So breaking it up that way, it might be, it could be like some sort of horrible experiment that would lead to a what do you call those things that are half goat and half person?
Oh, it'd be a bursin.
Yes, a bursin, a Greek bursin.
A minotaur with a minotaur, and it would be so. It sounds like it's not your norm. This is definitely not in your wheelhouse of what you do, because you are excellently skilled at what you do. And I say this: you read my brother, you read me. You are accurate. You are actually accurate. I say this.
People think it's a big gag just because I happen to be hilarious, but I'm both. You know. I'm hilarious, but I also, I'm psychic, and other psychics, Jesus, they are so full of themselves, you know what I'm saying? They're so serious.
I feel like they're weak sauce compared to you, because what they do is they try and do all the bluster with none of they have none of the ingredients.
Right. Yeah, you know, well, that's not true. Some people, there are millions of psychic people around the world that have an openness to it. Everyone has their own thing, right? Me? I just happened to be hilarious. You know, that's my I didn't do it to myself. It's just the way it is.
But were you struck by lightning, or how did you arrive at this great gift?
Actually, I was an audio engineer, and there was a fire in the lab. And as I was struggling to get out of the lab, I was hit with the rung of a metal ladder. That the firemen were coming in with, and I was knocked unconscious. I was in a coma for 6 days, and when I came to, I knew things that people in the hospital were thinking and doing. It was very strange.
Why isn't this a TV show already? I mean, we have The Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Why don't we have Dr. Dingman?
Oh,
I don't understand.
That's a great question.
I agree.
I might be greedy. If we don't have anyone calling, because I know I haven't given listeners the opportunity quite yet. I'm giving you a chance now. 312-981.
We're kind of holding back right now because we're personal.
Yeah, because I kind of want to get a reading done. I was double checking my songs and making sure that I was right about the titles.
Is there a super organism song?
It was not a super organism song.
Organism.
I love that Michael was like,
different
I'm embarrassed
spelling.
That you think it's Super Orgasm is a song that you think
oh,
it
that's
is.
What you're talking about.
That's what I thought it was.
Nice. Sorry, Patty.
It's Super Organism.
Their hit song.
I was saying that.
Death by Laughing.
Different title.
Band name or life goals. But 312-981-7200 if you would like to have a reading done by the world-renowned iTunes psychic. You can also see him live on April 12th at the Improv in Schaumburg. I know Paul has to run. He has an audition in the morning. Paul, you have a show coming up on Sunday. We're going to talk to you about it tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'll be back tomorrow night with Derek Smith for the show Everyone's a Lawyer at Laugh Factory on Sunday at 7 p.m.
Excellent. Follow him on Instagram, Paul Farhavar.
What kind of saying was that?
Farhavar.
It's just Farhavar.
Farhavar.
Patty Vasquez.
Vasquez.
I know. See how you like that.
Right. Farhavar.
No, if you wanted to, you would try it at least through the accent. Vasquez. Just saying.
Vasquez
Paul
and
Farhavar on Instagram. If we don't get any listeners who want to have a reading done, I have three songs that I randomly heard today, and I have a special request for something I'm considering doing. So I have a specific question.
Okay, great.
Tune in.
But one of the three songs,
but we got to get a break here, and I want to give listeners an opportunity because otherwise I'm just being greedy, Dr. Dingman. I don't want to take advantage of you. So,
whatever, Patty.
312-981-7200. Otherwise, you can see whether or not I should stalk my son's field trip. More after this on 720 WGN. The world-renowned iTunes psychic will be in Chicago on April 12th at the Improv in Chicago. But right now, you get a reading done with him live on the air. He takes the last three songs that you randomly heard and does a reading for you. And if we don't fill up the lines, I feel a little bit greedy because I have an idea for something that I want to do, and I want to ask the doctor if it's an adventure I should embark on. I guess I can be vague about it, doctor. Should I do it that way? That I want to go on an adventure that I've never...
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. What are your three songs?
My three songs are I Walk the Line by Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
Black Math by White Stripes. Mm-hmm. And Red Right Hand by Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds.
Wow. That's from, actually, from Peaky Blinders.
It is from Peaky Blinders, yeah.
Red Right Hand.
Wow. Okay. So I Walk the Line, Black Math, and Red Right Hand.
Wow. That's a little bit...
So murders afoot. What the?
Yeah, you sound like a. This is a reading about a badass. This is someone that is going to be. Are you planning? Is there a trip or some sort of acrimonious trip in your near future?
It's not. I mean, it might be done from a place of acrimony. But I wouldn't. I mean, I'm hoping it's not the intent. The outcome. I'm not looking for it to be acrimonious.
No, I'm seeing a big yellow bus. That's the line. Yeah. You get to get in line to get into the. Is it a school bus? Are you going on a school trip of some kind?
I'm not going on a school trip. I haven't. I want to do something, and I think it might be. I might be crossing the line. I guess that's kind of the idea. But yes, I. It does involve a school bus, and yes, it does involve.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that you're torn as to whether you should go on this trip and potentially cause great harm to those that you love or stay home and watch a program. I see, that's the dilemma. That's the black mass you're praying for the answer to, right?
Yes,
but it's
it
a
is.
Dark thing. It's not a happy thing. Because well, you know you, Patty.
Yes.
You know that if you do certain things, you know, the crap's going to hit the fan. It's not your fault.
Stuff's
it's
coming.
It's not your fault. It's like putting a kitty in a cage with a giant bear. You can't blame the bear.
Instinct right? will kick in.
Well, yeah.
This is what I'm saying.
I mean, there's a reason why my email is Patty Happens.
I didn't even know that. There you go.
I go into any normal situation, and I can make it exponentially worse for no apparent reason.
You say that like it's bad.
Yeah. Well, here's the good news, Patty. That in these three songs, I walked the line, Black Mass and Red Right Hand. All the entire scope of your problem is encapsulated there. You're thinking about going on some sort of school trip in which you know you will embarrass or mortify someone that is close to you. Those are the first two songs. So let's take a look at the denouement, as the French say, the ending. What is the universe telling you about whether you should go or not? Because you've had the Black Mass, you're trying to decide. Let's see if the universe is saying anything firmly or strongly to you. Red right hand. What color are stop signs, Patty?
Oh, yes, they are. They're red.
When a woman is upset or unctuous with a man, she holds out her arm. What does she say?
Stop right there. I don't know.
Talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand.
Talk to the hand. So a red right hand, that's another euphemism, a metaphor for stop. So I think the universe is clearly saying, don't go.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm glad I didn't buy the airline ticket yet.
You got that right.
Because you're going to go, Patty. Oh. Oh, yeah, you're going.
Could it also be a yield sign like, wait, just, okay, maybe go?
No, apparently not. All right, so.
Oh, the universe only gives you suggestions. We have free will, clearly, and I don't think this is ambiguous at all. The universe is saying, keep your ass at home. Patty's going to go. And, you know. I'm sure it'll make good radio when she gets back here if she's allowed to broadcast with the bracelet on.
I'm going to do it. I okay, that's it.
I like
do
Dr.
It.
D.
I'm going to do it. Plus, I got a good price on an Airbnb. We have Jim on the line. Jim wanted to have a reading done. Hey, Jim, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very well. Dr. Dingman can do a reading for you. What were the last three songs you randomly heard?
Dan Hicks and the Hot Licks. How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? Hey Jude by the Beatles. And Selling England by the Pound by Genesis.
Hmm.
Okay, so we got we've got How Can I Miss You When You Won't Go Away? That's a great title. Hey Jude, and then Selling England by the Pound, Jim.
Correct.
How Can I Miss You? Are you having romantic problems, Jim?
No, not at all. I have no romance at all.
Well, I would say that's a problem, yeah.
Yeah. I'm seeing you know the lyrics to Hey Jude, right? With the Beatles. This was a Beatles song. You take a sad song and make it better. That's the kind of person you are, Jim. You're a guy that if there's a glass, you see it half full, not half empty.
I would agree with that.
Sometimes you'll see a hair floating in it. You're a realist, but you'll say it's half full.
And then I'll drink it.
Oh! Wow.
Right. Because you're alone. Whose hair can it be but yours?
That's right.
Fair. That's fair.
Fair enough.
If you're going to wear it, you can drink it.
Wear it and share it.
I think what the universe is saying here is, Jim, if we're honest with each other, that you're tired of being lonely and you want to find someone to be with, but you're not sure how to begin, how to start that process. True or false?
No, that's true.
Yeah. And you've heard about the online dating and the Tinder and the Match.coms and things, but you think that's silly. And it's capitulation, and it's a real man could get his own broad, right? That's what you're thinking is basically.
Yeah, that's probably true also.
Okay, that's what this third song is: Selling England by the Pound. It sounds, you know, avaricious, but that's the way people meet nowadays, Jim. And there's nothing unmanly or uncool about meeting someone online. You know, you don't have to go to Tinder. It's Tinder, Jim, right? You understand Tinder?
No, yes.
Yeah. What's a kid call a hookup site, Jim?
I didn't hear that last comment. Say that again.
It's a hookup site, a hookup to meet people.
No, I am familiar with Tinder, yes.
Right. It's just cheap, tawdry, physical, sexual liaisons. And that's not what you're looking for, is it, Jim?
That is not at all what I'm looking for, no.
I mean, every once in a while. But in general, you want a relationship.
Correct.
Yeah. And that's what this first song is. How can I miss you when you won't go away? You know the who? You know who the you is in this? It's you.
What, I'm not going away?
Exactly. You're always with yourself. Everywhere you go, Jim,
there you are. Yes.
Ooh. Wherever you go, there you are. That's correct.
Right. What you need to do, Jim, what the universe is telling you, is you need to get outside of yourself. You've heard the term, get out of your head.
I have heard that, yes.
Yeah, what that means is you're thinking too much, you're trying too hard, you're trying to control every little thing, and that's not how the universe works. The universe works on randomized vibrations, and you cannot control that energy. It's just released, and then people react to it. How they're going to react to it, that's the essence of free will on the molecular level. Excuse me. You need to stop being so hard on yourself. Being single is not a sentence. It doesn't mean that you're damaged or flawed or boring or ugly. It doesn't mean any of that.
Just go out there and do it.
Yes. Right. And doing it, you have this prejudice against meeting people online, as you've said earlier. I think you need to get rid of that. This is the universe saying, hey, it's 2018. It's okay. Right? You know, put your training wheels on. Maybe you could start with eHarmony or FarmersOnly.com and work your way up to Tinder, right? See how you like it.
Sounds like a plan.
Excellent. I love that reading.
Be the best you. Go out there and have fun.
And don't be afraid to be with yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. Don't be afraid to be with yourself, Jim. I feel that you're in transportation. Do you work in the transportation business in some way?
I am a Lyft driver.
Hey, there you go.
There you go, yeah.
You transport things.
You're a Lyft driver. You're always moving. You're always going around. But you're not there for yourself. And I think if you stop being so hard on yourself and open yourself up to new experiences, you'll find someone to be with. I'm seeing 4th of July. I'm seeing you at a 4th of July party with a gorgeous woman. So this means one of two things. Either you'll have a beautiful girlfriend by then, or you'll be dropping a hot broad off at a nice party.
There you go.
Because you're the youest you you'll ever be.
Jim, you got to check back with us and let us know how this
turns
out.
Let us know how it goes, Jim.
Yeah, check back with us.
Yeah, let us know how it turns out, Jim. I'd be curious to hear.
Thank you so much, Jim. Be safe out there, too. Dr. Dingman, hold on the line. Anyone else who wants a reading, 312-981-7200. More after this on 720 WGN. On April 12th, the world-renowned iTunes psychic Dr. Lars Dingman will be sharing his incredible skills with you at the Improv in Schaumburg. Right now, he is dazzling us with his insight. For our listeners who would like to have a reading done, Julie is on hold and would love to get a reading done by you, Dr. Dingman. Here is Julie. Hey, Julie, how are you doing?
Hey, good, Patty. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. I love hearing from you. That's so good to hear. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Dr. Dingman, take it away, sir.
All right. Hello, Julie. What are the last three songs that you randomly heard?
Okay. The last three songs I randomly heard was one, Despacito. Two, Keith Urban, Blue Ain't Your Color. And three, Come and Get Your Love. But I can't remember the name of the band.
Oh, that's from the Guardians of the Galaxy film, right?
Come and get your love.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I want to say, I know it's not the...
Is it Blue Sweet?
Redbone, I'm being told
Redbone,
in my ear.
Yeah, Redbone.
You all know that. You all know I didn't know that. That was Michael doing some quick research right there.
Thank you, Michael.
Okay,
yeah, so you got, Julie, you've got the Despacito. Blue Ain't Your Color. And Come and Get Your Love.
Right.
You know what Despacito means, Julie?
No.
Slowly. It means slowly. It's a song about the slow, rhythmic, grinding rhythm of passion. That's what the song is about. People think it's desperate. Okay. It's not desperate, although... I'm sensing in this reading, Julie, that you are getting a little desperate for that Despacito. True or false?
True.
Yeah. It's been a while, right, Julie?
Yes, it has.
Yeah. And you've been blue about it, but you know what? Blue ain't your color. That's your second song.
Yeah.
You don't need to be depressed. And it's bumming you out that you're not with somebody.
Right. No, it's lonely. Yeah.
So what are you going to do? You're going to lay there? You're going to feel sorry for yourself, which I think you've been doing a lot of lately? You've been doing that lately, haven't you, Julie?
I've been feeling kind of down, but...
Yeah. Okay. Which is normal. But you can either stay down, or what can you do? You can get up. You can come and get your love, which is your third song.
Okay.
So what the universe is telling you, Julie, is that you're a marvelous, wonderful woman, and no one's, you know, you can't hide under a rock. The call we just had with Jim, why can't we have, we could have had the two of these people on the phone together, Pat?
I agree. I agree.
Oh, I sense another segment
Jim
coming out
single,
of this.
Jim is single because, for different reasons than you are single. You feel...
Yeah.
You feel like you're unworthy to be with someone.
I don't feel unworthy. I don't feel unworthy. I just feel like I haven't met the right person.
You haven't met the person who's worthy of you yet is a better way of putting it. Yeah?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
You're picky, which is not a bad thing. You know?
I am picky.
Yeah, okay. That's actually
good.
Better than
yes.
being not picky.
Exactly.
Well, you should be. If you invite someone into your home, quote unquote, then you might as well know them.
Yes.
Yes,
right.
Exactly. Right. There's a word for girls who aren't picky.
Oh,
yes.
Let's not say that. Because there's not a word for men who aren't picky. They're just dudes.
No, they're called guys.
Yeah.
They're called dudes.
Julie, what the universe is saying here is, you're beginning to lose belief that there is somebody of your caliber out there, and the universe is saying, no, he's out there. Come and get him. Come and find him. Take an active role in changing your life. Go to different places. Shop at a different grocery store at a different time on a different day. Go ice skating, bike riding. Do something that you've never done before and change your circles. Come and get your love.
Okay.
I appreciate it. You're very welcome, Julie. I think if you have a second, we can do an exercise here that will help you raise your vibration. The issue here is your vibration is low because you've been down, right? You said so yourself.
Yeah.
You're down.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That brings your vibration down, and it makes you feel blue. It also makes you feel less attractive to the world. So we're going to raise your vibration. Okay.
Okay.
In the song, and because that is what the universe works on, it works on vibration, your third song, Come and Get Your Love. You know that song, Julie. You just heard it, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. There's a guitar lick in there that was laid down, believe it or not, by Glenn Campbell, who was a session musician at the time.
Wow.
And the song goes, Come and Get Your Love. Do-do-do-do-do-do. That part right there.
Yeah.
What I would like you to do is, as loudly and as saucily as you can, I want to hear you give me that lick a couple of times.
Oh, my
God. Cover your lungs.
How embarrassing. You want me to sing it?
No one can see you.
No one can see you. And this is the first step of you coming out to get your love. You have to assert yourself. And doing a lick on the radio, that's assertive.
As Dr. Dingman says, this is your clearing call. Come and ask people to get your love.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Come and get your love. Come and get your love.
Oh, no, Julie, hold on. You left out the best part.
What?
The guitar lick. Come and get your love. Do-do-do-do-do-do. I want to hear the do-do-do-do-do part.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Both parts.
Okay.
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
It's probably the first time you've done any licking on the radio.
It is. Okay. Come and get your love. Do 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 do. Come and get your love. Do 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 do.
All right. Yes.
Very good, Julie.
Yes. Yes.
Outstanding.
Come and get your love. Yeah.
Julie, I guarantee you have a huge smile on your face right now. Do you or do you not?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Okay.
Good job,
too.
Julie.
That was wonderful, Julie.
You have Thank just you raised so your vibration. You feel differently than you felt a moment ago. You've raised your vibration. I want you to do this same exercise every morning, first thing when you wake up. Look in the mirror and say it again. Say.
Go ahead.
Come and get your love.
Doodly do do do.
Thank you, Julie.
Thank you, Julie.
Best
of
luck, Julie,
and your life will change.
Yes.
Yeah, it will. Yes, it will.
Wonderful. Dr. Dingman, remind people where they can find out information about your show coming up at the Improv on April 12th.
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Improv in Chicago on April 12th for my CD release party. You can go to the Improv website and get your tickets right there. They just put them on sale.
Excellent. Dr. Dingman, we will talk to you again next week, and I will update you on whether or not I'm going to stalk my son's out-of-town field trip.
Yeah.
You know, save yourself the phone call, Patty. I know you're going to do it.
Look who's stalking.
Hey, what are you guys doing here? I had no idea you'd be at the... Yeah.
Knock, knock. I traveled.
Ridiculous. Have a great evening, Dr. Dingman. We'll talk to you next week. Take care of yourself, okay?
Good night. Thanks, everybody.
Bye. Take care, Dr. D.
More after this on 720 WGN.
Tell me something good.
I already know what John's Bulger something good
is. Oh, boy.
We did not get to White Sox talk earlier.
Wait,
so
wait, you feel that? You feel
Sox
that?
Talk.
Do you feel that right there? Yes. Oh, it's Lucas Giolito.
Who's Lucas Giolito?
He's one of the starting pitchers, will be one of the starting pitchers.
Why
he's
going to
be
at our about
rotation.
Aside from his name. How do you say it?
So it's Lucas Giolito.
Giolito.
Yeah, and he is a
That's his
very...
last Giolito is his last name. Lucas is his
yes.
first name. It's not all
yes.
one word. Okay.
It's not.
Just checking. Okay.
It's not like Enneman's Donuts.
Sounds like a dessert.
It is. He's cool.
I'm going to take some chocolate Giolito, please.
Yes, I'll have that on the side, please. he's what he is a good guy on the White Sox online chat room on Facebook. He called him Big Hoss, and I like that, but I like to call him Legs, because if you go 165 to 180 innings and you chew innings as a pitcher or a starting pitcher,
uh-huh.
I would call you Legs. Your
yeah,
legs.
Yeah, legs.
And he's very tall, and he's tall. He's
okay.
like 6'5 north. So Lucas Giolito is good. He had a good outing today. Actually, he didn't. Yesterday, the day before against Texas.
So on Tuesday.
Today was Lopez, and he kind of was a little erratic in the strike zone, kind of all over and walked the bases jammed. But it's spring training, so no one really cares.
Okay. Well, that's the thing is people are asking like about some of the players, like, well, look at how bad their batting average is. And I'm like, it's
spring
preseason.
Training.
Yeah.
That's like sitting there going, hey, do you know how bad you auditioned for that role when you got it?
Right.
You already have it.
It's a practice run at things, folks.
Exactly.
So the White Sox are going to, well, the home opener is on
Eight
April 5th.
8 days away.
April 5th?
8 days.
Is that right?
It's actually not. So the 31st is the first day on the road. Home opener is the 5th. That is correct.
Home opener is the 5th.
That is correct.
Michael, I've already requested tickets. Make sure you get your email into to the folks here at WGN.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Email.
Mm-hmm.
Email. Do you want to go to the game?
Yes, of course.
I've heard they have good food. By the way,
when you go, we'll all hang out.
So yeah. So apparently, really? I love that everyone's like they have really good food there, and I'm like, you guys, everyone makes fun of Wrigley fans mm-hmm. for being like just you know, like not paying attention. Mm-hmm. Nobody says, oh, you gotta go try one of the sushi bombs. I don't know what they call any of the food at the Sox Park, but
yeah, it's a sushi bomb. That's what it is. Hey, you should try the Fart Burglar. It's so awesome.
I don't know what kind of food they have at Comiskey.
They have, by the way, the Burger Barn is one of my favorites.
There it is, the Burger Barn.
Barn is
I knew
fantastic.
It was something fun to say.
You got to get the Irish nachos. All it is just potatoes, which Irish people like.
Yes.
With just a ton of nacho cheese and scallions and awesome stuff.
Have you ever had tater tot nachos? Like just...
Tater tots fried, same thing.
No, it's not.
We had
not.
A famine. We know.
The consistency, though. No, but tater tots, like treated like poutine. Like, it's got, like, alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Ooh, anything tater tots related is right up my alley. So
the tots are good.
Fantastic. You know what's even better? Sweet potato tater tots.
What? So, I can't.
You can't do sweet potato tater tots?
I can't do it.
Okay. Esmeralda.
But I love you for that.
Esmeralda, sweet potato tater tots. Where do you stand on that?
Oh, yeah.
Aren't this delicious?
Yeah.
Very good. By the way, I'm dying on this Whole30 thing that I decided to try. I'm doing the Whole 30 where you can't eat a lot of different foods. Although I'm guessing if I made my own sweet potato tater tots, those would qualify as something I could eat, right, Ez?
You would have to do them baked.
Right. Yeah, you can't put any oils. Like, there's only certain kinds of oils that are allowed.
Yeah, but it's more you can't fry stuff.
You can't fry stuff. No fried stuff.
That's no good.
No, you can bake a lot of stuff. A lot of baked fries, baked potatoes. I had baked beets and...
What?
Baked beets and sweet potatoes. You know, okay, can I ask what is wrong with people and the beets? I love beets.
It's in the name. It wants to hit you.
Beets, if done well, are delicious. Am I the only one on the show that likes beets?
I love beets.
I'm also a fan of beets.
I like it. My beet and kale juice.
I respect all you guys. I can't do it. It's in the name. It just hits you.
Is there one thing that you love in the vegetable or fruit category that when you tell people, they're like, oh, I don't know how you're going to like that?
Beets would be it.
You don't like beets. You have to something that you do like.
Something I love is corn. Lotes or esquites. I love that.
You like corn.
I love corn.
Okay, corn seems like something a lot of people like.
Peas.
I like kale.
Peas.
I like beets. I like peas. A lot of things that people don't like. I love okra.
Give peas a chance.
Have you tried okra? See?
Yeah.
Ez, okra?
I've actually never tried it.
What? I gotta make
it
some
just
cow.
Hasn't happened.
I gotta make some cowgirl okra for you when I'm
done
for
sure.
30. It's got like cornmeal. It's baked. Michael, are there any vegetables that you
absolutely... get an okra. You get an okra.
Vegetables, I can't think of any. There's a few fruits that I get scoffed at.
What kind of fruit do you get scoffed? Who scoffs at Michael? Point them in my direction, I will hurt them.
Anytime I mention pineapple, it's always a heated debate. And
pineapple?
Oh, yeah.
That's because like you want to put it on pizza.
It's the only place it should go.
You're a horrible
Hawaiian
human
pizza.
Being.
So you're a Hawaiian pizza guy.
Yeah, yes, no,
that's
of course.
Not okay. Can we just... And the problem is, you know, I actually get Hawaiian pizza as long as it's barbecue sauce, but you put pineapple on a tomato-based pizza, you are not a good person.
Hang on. Piece now, Sonia's father loved that. Loved it without a doubt. Gordon loved it.
Sonia, I love you. I love your father, I'm sure, but we couldn't
It was
hang.
Just weird. I wouldn't eat it.
I will take anchovies over pineapple. I love anchovies. I can't.
Okay.
Silence. Yeah.
Jeez. You had me at okra, but then you brought an anchovies to the table.
Which is a fish. Yeah. I mean, it's not, obviously not a vegetable.
Send it back.
Hey, is okra anchovies a new band that's going to be playing at Lollapalooza?
Okra anchovies.
No, that's actually that's a disease.
That is the disease.
Looking on the list right here.
Disease.
So.
That is
okra
the disease.
Okra anchovies is a disease. We didn't get through our...
Hey, by the way, I really have to say hi to Michelle Moore.
Hi, Michelle
Moore. Cousin.
Hey, Michelle.
I always promise to say hi.
Let's I haven't done my live read. We have no more breaks left before the news, but there's every clock in here says a different time to me, but I'm guessing it's 1:58 right now. Is that accurate for you where you're sitting?
You are right on the nose.
That clock, what time does that clock say? Not 1:58. No, it does not.
No, that's military time.
Okay, then.
That's 18.
That's 18.
Just so you know, welcome to West Point.
Yes.
Get in line.
Mr. Military School.
I went to military school. My dad was in the military. My brother was in the military as well, and so was his son.
Okay. Well, a lot of military school.
Very military.
How many years were you in military school?
4 years. JROTC.
Did your parents tell you it was just camp?
No. Every time I say I went to military school, everyone goes, what did you do?
No. I didn't think that. What did you do, John?
What'd you do?
What'd you do?
I'm like, nothing.
Let me make sure we take care of this. I want to know, do you wake up feeling exhausted, been told? Oh, wait, is this for, do I have another one of these?
I think you already read that one.
Oh, there you go. But yeah. You know what? Check out MyPillow anyway. Or a sleep apnea test from our friends at sleepstudyspecialist.com. I'm not sure which reading I was about
Sleep's
to do.
Sleep's very important.
I love
All
sleep.
Right, so you're saying I got everything out of the way.
Yes,
so
you did.
My something good is that I had the distinct pleasure and honor of doing the keynote address for the ICPN. That's an organization that there are the providers for support for communities, people and families who are raising individuals with intellectual and physical disabilities.
Thank you.
Thank you to everyone who came out yesterday in Naperville and everyone in Springfield today. You guys were so much fun. Honestly, driving after my show for three
hours. You're heroes.
They're heroes. The hugs were worth the drive, the turnaround time, and it was absolutely my pleasure. So thank you, everybody, that was at the ICPN conference in Naperville and in Springfield.
Did you give a speech there?
I gave a keynote address to both.
That is so wonderful and so much love.
It's well, thank you. I have a company called With Kind Words, and as much as we talk for 3 hours, we cover a lot of topics, and sometimes I probably come across as somebody who doesn't get it right.
Oh, you do.
Well, no, but I mean
you do.
But the whole idea for me is in today's speech was about how when someone tells tells you thank you, enjoy that, because so many people will say negative things and you live there and you twirl it around in your mind. You're like, why did they say that? But when someone says thank you, you don't hear it.
Don't blow through the gate.
Yeah, just
savor it.
Yeah, enjoy it. So
savor it.
Thank you to those who care for others. That was basically my point today.
Much
Nick
love.
D is up next. Thank you so much, John Bolger, for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Patty.